Hello and welcome to Outlook from the BBC World Service. I'm Matthew Bannister. On today's programme, the daring sea captain who steals back ships that have been illegally impounded. Now, Captain Max Hardberger steals ships for a living. He calls himself a maritime repo man, stepping in to help owners get their vessels back when they've been illegally impounded. It's a risky business which pits Max's cunning against corrupt port officials and people trying to extort money from ship owners. But it's a life that Max enjoys. He's been fascinated by adventure stories ever since he was a boy, and he's held any number of exciting jobs, from crop-dusting pilot to private investigator and stuntman. Now, he's written a book describing some of his adventures. When he came into the Outlook studio, Max told me how he first got into this unusual line of work.
I was a ship captain one time in 87. When my ship got seized in the Dominican Republic, I just refused to allow my crew to be put off. So I decided to sneak the ship out. And that was the first time, and then, I don't know, it just became a habit.
How did you sneak it out?
Well, that particular time was pretty tough because we were right next to the guard shack. And so I had to wait till a thunderstorm arrived. And then in the middle of the thunderstorm, we chopped the dock lines, turned around in the river and took off.
And were there people watching you at that time?
Oh, yeah, they knew.
Guards?
I couldn't hide from them. They knew I was doing it. In fact, they sent a warship after me, but it couldn't find me in the rainstorm, which is what I planned.
And did you tell the owners that you were going to do this?
Oh, yeah, my owner knew. I got his permission first.
What's the most difficult situation you've had to extricate yourself from?
I think that the worst job I had was the Maya Express, which was out of Haiti during the revolution. This was a ship that was in the Dominican Republic, and a pirate convinced the crew, who hadn't been paid in a while, to steal the ship out of the Dominican Republic and deliver it to a small port in Haiti where he thought that nobody would know where it was. The problem was that the ship had a mortgage, and the mortgagee hired us to find the ship, to find out where it had gone, and then to get it back for them.
How did you find it?
Well, I've been living in Haiti for many years, so when he said it had been stolen out of the Dominican Republic and taken somewhere where it couldn't be found, there's only one place it could go, and that would be Haiti. So I just called around and had some friends go driving around Haiti until they found it.
And then what did you do?
I went down to that small port, and I went on board pretending to be a buyer, and I gave the guard some money to let me look around the ship. And once I realized that the ship couldn't go out under its own power, then I ordered a tugboat to come in. And I surveilled the ship surreptitiously from a hiding place until we could bring the tugboat in. The problem was that I thought that the tugboat could cut the anchor chains in a few minutes, but it took 2 hours. Cutting the chains with a cutting torch lights up the whole bay, so Haitians came running out of the hills to see what was going on. But I had hired some off-duty policemen, so they would let them onto the dock, but they wouldn't let them back off, so they couldn't go and alert the authorities. And then the tugboat pulled it out.
And at that time, is your heart in your mouth? Is your heart raced? Do you get nervous?
It was very nervous, because if the authorities had found out about it, I would never have gotten out of Miraguan, the small town, because I was the only white man in the country. And, you know, there would be no way of me saying, oh, I have nothing to do with that.
You'd be pretty recognizable.
Right. And it would be a very bad thing.
And how do you check the legality of what you're doing? Because you're in a very grey area, really, aren't you, where you're saying that there's no legal system worth the name in the town that you're stealing the ship from. You're deciding yourself who's the law, really, aren't you?
I follow international law. I'm not concerned about these lawless countries and their laws, but I will not violate international law. The first thing I do when somebody approaches me, it always starts with a phone call, is I get them to send me all the information on the claim. Then I do my own due diligence in deciding whether the claim is valid or not. And if the claim is valid, then I can't have anything further to do with it.
And have you had people try to hoodwink you into doing things that would have been against the law?
Oh, several people have tried to get me to help them escape their debts, you know, by telling me, oh, the debt is a bogus debt, steal the ship out for me. And then when I get there on the ground, and I realized that, in fact, the ship did damage the cargo, and it did hit the dock, or whatever the claim is. So that's when I call the client and say, sorry, but that's the end of the job.
Have you always been like this? I mean, as a kid, were you somebody who wanted to have adventures?
My mother never thought I'd make it to puberty. So,
well, because you were really you were a risky kid, were you?
I'm afraid so.
Well, what sort of things did you get up to when you were a kid?
Well, I suppose maybe the worst thing was the time I jumped off the roof with a bedsheet for a parachute. That was when she decided that I wasn't going to make it.
And did you used to read lots of books of adventure?
I did. My parents loved adventure books, and that was what started me on this. C.S. Forrester, the Hornblower series, I couldn't get enough of it.
In a way, you've been living out that dream. I mean, now you've written your own book.
Unfortunately, I'm 300 years too late.
Oh, you'd prefer to be in a more swashbuckling outfit.
My mother
you?
Thought I was born out of my century, and she was right.
But you've had some sadness in your life as well. I mean, first of all, I understand that Hurricane Katrina was terrible for you because you live in that area that was struck by the hurricane, and you lost all your possessions, didn't you?
Yeah, virtually all my possessions. I lost all my books. I had about 8,000 books, and that was the worst thing.
And your house, was your house swept away as well?
It wasn't swept away, but it was destroyed.
It was flooded. And how did you feel about that?
Numb. Yeah. I mean, after a while, you just realize, hey, the lack of possessions is liberating. But the first thing you feel, like everybody down there, is a sense of shock and numbness.
Because it's interesting, because you're obviously a man who's traveled enormously, gone on, away from home a lot. Was home important to you?
Yeah, absolutely. It was my home base. I lived there for almost 30 years. I lived on the water and had my boat there. And every time I would sail out, I would always come back to the same dock. So, yeah, it was a great sense of loss.
Mm. And have you been able to rebuild your life there, or have you moved somewhere else now?
No, I live very close to the house. I'm about 30 miles from there. I live on a sailboat now.
And it's taken its toll on your marriage as well, because you were divorced, I think.
Right.
Was that as a result of all the adventures that you went on, do you think, that you were away from home so often?
Of course. I'm sure it had some effect on it.
Mm. But you never felt the need to change the way you live your life?
I felt the need many times. I just couldn't do it.
Do you ever sort of confront the possibility of death in all these adventures? I mean, because you are, in a way, dicing with death some of the time, aren't you?
Well, I've come very close, you know, many, many times.
Do you worry about it?
No, not really. I mean, there are times when I say to myself, how could I have gotten myself in this position? But then once I get out of it, I guess I completely forget. I'm ready to go again.
Captain Max Hardberger. His book is called Seized, and there are more details and a picture of Captain Max on our website at bbcworldservice.com/outlook.